Law Focus Podcast.
Law Focus with Millicent Duweni and Tsepo Mohapi. Tuesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. on Power FM.
Good evening and welcome to Law Focus on Wild FM 88.1. You're with Tsepo Mohapi and we have Millicent back, who's been away for a while. We've missed her for the last couple of months of 2020. She went on sabbatical, but we are glad to announce that she's back with us today and for the foreseeable future. So we're going to have our regular kind of, you know, way of running the show from now on, because it'll be the both of us again. And that's a really good thing. But I know for most of us, this year started off on something of a difficult note. We had our very hard lockdown restrictions. We had a spike in the COVID infections. And many of us have lost family members, lost our health, etc., etc. But we hope that the worst of it is over now that the country seems to be adjusting back to something normal. Perhaps what's coming forward now will be better things to come. But be that as it may, we are here to bring you the best in the legal world as well as legal stories every week, as we've done for the last few years. We hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be back. Good evening to all our Law Focus listeners. I really feel honored to be back. It was a difficult year last year, I think, for many of us, as Tevwa has said, and I needed to take a bit of a sabbatical. You know, sometimes life really gets to you and you feel like you're drowning and you're not managing, you're not coping. I was in that stage definitely last year. You know, you've got work, you've got studies, and everything becomes a bit too much. And I was blessed to be able to go for, was it 2 months or so in that temple, and while he was holding the fort, so that I could manage. Mental health is important. Sometimes we take it for granted, but we really should not. And I'm blessed to be back, and I hope you guys will continue this new year with us throughout. I think we've got a lot of really interesting, fascinating shows coming up, and we hope that you're going to be joining us from now henceforth throughout the rest of the year, not only for tonight's show. Yeah, Tsepo?
Yeah, it's really good to have you back, and we are excited for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Right, remember that in our first week of the month, what we love to do is to introduce somebody from the legal fraternity to give us a little bit of a chat about what it's like to be in the legal fraternity. Now, that could be an advocate, a lecturer, an attorney, a student of the law. Today, we've got an attorney coming to speak to us, a young, dynamic attorney, and he's going to speak to us about his experiences within the legal fraternity so far, particularly as a young African person in these very, very trying times. Nothing is the same as it was a year ago or 2 years ago. So it'll be interesting to see how the last year or so has impacted on various professionals' view.
I've been wondering about that, especially for lawyers, you know.
Yeah.
I've been wondering, is it better or is it, you know, worse?
Yeah, unfortunately, the legal fraternity is one of the most conservative. But this has really forced some new innovations. And we'll find those out, I guess, as the year progresses. In the good news, actually, the vaccine has arrived. And we saw the aircraft arriving. I think it's 1 million AstraZeneca vaccines. They arrived at OR Tambo yesterday. And they're now going to be stored at a cold storage facility in a warehouse in Johannesburg. Let us hope that the temperature is set right, because that can go very wrong very quickly. Although I think it's so important that I don't think they can get it wrong. The much-awaited shipment arrived yesterday, and it's a big, big milestone for the country, because it does mean we've secured some vaccines, not all, but some vaccines, and we can begin to roll those out and hopefully really put this thing eventually under control, and hopefully we can go back to what we were used to a long time ago. Yesterday, the president made an awful lot of announcements, and I think much of it came as a relief. Some people perhaps have got a little bit of frustrations, but you get the normal people that complain about things. For the most part, I think South Africans were quite happy about the announcement that we had yesterday, although we're still on level 3 adjusted. It's just gone 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. You're with me, Tapo Mohapi, and Millicent Ndweni, and this is Law Focus.
Yes, she's back. And, 2021 has really started with a bang, I would say, for South Africa at least. For starters, it is the first time this year that we have our institutions of higher learning not yet opened. They will be opening in March. So for many people who are part and parcel of this show, of this station supporting us, they are still away waiting for a lot of their school documents to be ready for their applications. If you were in matric last year, you're still waiting for your results. So there's just a lot going on. So that's something new that we need to acclimatize to, the online learning. Everything has kind of delayed stuff. So that's the one thing that we are looking out for right now. I think the other thing that's interesting that's taken place is the Zuma Concord case. Yeah. We have now heard that the Constitutional Court has ruled that he must appear before the Commission of State Inquiry, and if he does not, obviously he will be in contravention of the law. Of course, you may have heard that he has said that he's not going to appear. It's going to be interesting to see how that is going to be dealt with. This is something that we'll talk about a bit more in our legal hotspots that will be coming up shortly. Of course, you know that you're welcome to contribute to our conversation. You can call us. We are available on the dial on 011-717-9881. You can also reach us on our various social media platforms and be part of the show. We are available on Twitter at VowFM using the hashtag LawFocus. You can also contact us on Facebook. We are VowFM. Of course, we have podcasts that are available. Just visit vits.journalism.co.za/law or the Vits Radio Academy page on Iono. We are also, by the way, available on Spotify. So many, many, many places where you can definitely get in contact with us. I think we were also wanting to extend our invitation not only to people who want to engage in the show, but if you are in the legal field, you have studied law and you have a good understanding of it and you want to actually be featured on the show, we also want you to contact us. We are available on email refilwe.mekwa@vits.ac.za. We will repeat this again towards the end. Refilwe with a W, refilwe.mekwa@vits.ac.za. So that is for people who have studied or are practicing in the legal profession and would like to be featured on the show. Whether you want to come and, like what we're going to be doing tonight, be part of a profile interview where you share your journey and inspire other people, tell us about your expertise, or you want to analyze a particular aspect of the law, you are more than welcome to also engage with us by contacting us so that we can definitely reach out and invite you. Okay, and then the weather. Let's talk about the weather. Oh my goodness, South Africa's weather nowadays. Let's talk about Joburg's weather. The rain has been going crazy. It's been falling for the past few days, and motorists have been cautioned to be alert on the road. So if you are driving right now, please be very cautious. There's a lot of potholes in some places. It's somewhat flooding, so you need to be very, very careful. Gauteng emergency services are on high alert because of the heavy downpours that have been taking place across the province.
Rounding up all the top stories of the week. It's Legal Hotspots.
Right, we're right back to my favorite part of the show, the Legal Hotspots. I find these interesting because it really is what's going on in our world right here and right now. I think the most important legal topic we have today is the former president, Jacob Zuma. He released a statement yesterday, and he said that he won't be cooperating with the State Capture Commission unless the Deputy Chief Justice, Raymond Zondo, ceases to be the chair of that commission. He said that in a written statement which was widely circulated, and he compared the Constitutional Court, which said that he must appear before the State Capture Commission, he compared the Constitutional Court to the apartheid government. He also made comparisons between himself and the famed and very revered political activist Robert Sobukwe. He stated his issue is that he feels as though he's being mistreated by the South African judicial system, that is the commission and the Crown Court, and that if he is obliged to go to jail, he will. This will perhaps be one of the biggest constitutional quandaries that our country has faced. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but it could be, because what do we do from here? If he is in contempt of court, is he in contempt of court by not appearing before the commission? And what do we do about it if he doesn't appear? So it'll be a very interesting one. And he's leaving the country, apparently, to go for medical treatment, which is another little bit of a spanner in the works. But we'll see.
So that is a thing. The Russian medical treatment, it is actually a real thing.
Well, I mean, that's what people are speculating. I don't think it's been confirmed, but if that is the case, it's going to add a new dynamic to it, which will just complicate things a little bit more.
There's definitely a lot of nuances to this conversation. In another legal hotspot tonight, sure, so a father, imagine this, he went to buy milk for his newborn baby, who had complications. And so he went on the 7th of January, it was at around 1 o'clock in the morning, to go and get formula milk for his baby. Of course, he was in contravention of the lockdown regulations. So on his way back from the hospital where he bought, Unitas Hospital, where he bought the milk, he was arrested by the police. So this Pretoria father, Naslu Ru, says that he was literally 250 meters away from home when he was arrested. He tried to reason with the police and show them the receipt. This is where I come from. Look at the time. I am not lying. And the police were having none of it. You broke the law. You are going to be arrested, and the law will deal with you. Of course, he's not happy, and he will now be pursuing legal action against the SAPS. So,
yeah, that'll be interesting, because is that an emergency running out of formula? I mean, you don't suddenly run out of formula in a minute, do you?
The baby was born on the 6th of January, though. So, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but okay. I am sympathetic, but I don't know if we're dealing with an emergency there. But it's something that I think we would be interested to find the outcome of. And lastly, five suspects were arrested at the R. Tambo International Airport when 6 million rands worth of unregistered medicine suspected to be ivermectin was found in their possession. This is according to the Citizen newspaper. They appeared before the Kempton Park Magistrates Court on Monday, and it seems as if the intention was for these unregistered pills to be sold as treatment for COVID-19 and for the sellers to make a profit from the sales. This is not the first incident of people trying to profit from the illegal sale of so-called COVID medicines in South Africa. The first incident took place on the 13th of January. The National Prosecuting Authority is to make a decision on the matter by Thursday. Perhaps this would be an opportune moment to perhaps caution South Africans not to fall for everybody who tells you that they're a medical professional and can assist you with either a vaccine or some form of treatment for COVID. Really, do your homework and make sure before you inject, whatever, imbibe any form of medication, because who knows where it came from. It could have come from the local store and you wouldn't know. So this is a cautionary tale. We'll be back right after this.
Rounding up all the top stories of the week. It's Legal Hotspots. Law Focus with Millicent Duweni and Tsepo Mohapi.
It's 19 minutes past 7 and you're back here with us on Law Focus 88.1 Bow FM, where all of the most important topics are happening with regards to the law. If you've just joined us, today is one of our profile interviews where we choose a up-and-coming or an established legal professional to come and talk to us about their experiences within the legal profession. It doesn't have to be an attorney. It can be any part of the legal profession. And like Millicent said earlier, we always like to hear from you. If you want to make contact with us, you want to tell us what it's like to be a lawyer, to be in-house counsel, to be a magistrate, to whatever it is that you want to do, be a student, a legal student or law student, rather. Tell us what it's like. You can make contact with. But today we have the pleasure of talking to Nkopane Mokoena. He's the founder of a law firm, Mokoena Nkopane Incorporated, and that's based in Johannesburg. He's originally from the Free State province. The 28-year-old grew up in a family of five, and he says he's always wanted to be a lawyer since he was a young man.
The pressure of seeing someone your age doing very well in life, that's supposed to be an inspiration, though. So, you know, you want to stay tuned to hear how this vibrant, admitted attorney got to where he is today. Hear his story, how he managed to overcome the obstacles that he encountered in life. He graduated with an LLB from the University of the Free State in 2016, and his career commenced as a forensic investigator, and he also has experience in corporate and commercial litigation. He says that what keeps him going is that he works with every case like it is his very, very last.
Yeah. In his spare time, Nkopane enjoys reading relaxing books and... that wasn't quite what I meant to say. No, he enjoys reading books and relaxing with his loved ones. Massive football fan. I hope he's a Kaizer Chiefs supporter. One can only hope. And he usually... This takes up a lot of his spare time over the weekends. Nkopane, welcome to Law Focus and thank you for coming to share your story with us.
Good evening, Tepo, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you for having me on the show.
Great. Just to get the one question out of the way, are you part of the blessed Amakhosi family?
I'm sorry to disappoint, Tepo. Unfortunately, I'm not. I'm your worst enemy.
Oh, my word. Okay, now let's leave it there. Yeah, before things go sour already.
unfortunately.
Well done for the weekend anyway.
No, thank you so much.
Good.
Let's not talk about today. we rather stay at the weekend. That's fine.
All right. Yeah, then let's leave it at the weekend. Tell me, which parts of the law are really where your heart is, you know, where your interests lie?
So, I think... Before I started practicing, I'd always had a drawn interest in corporate law and civil litigation. I still maintain that interest quite strongly, but I think when I started practicing, then I developed real interest in family law. Mm. So I think I would confine myself in terms of my interest or field of interest into family law and civil litigation.
Family law is really, truly a fascinating part of the law. Very humane, or very, not necessarily humane, but human part of the law, emotions, its ambitions and so on. So I can understand why it's such an interest for you. Tell us, the last few months, we've seen huge forced introductions of artificial intelligence or methods of communicating, etc., in our legal system. And in some quarters, it has created perhaps some fears, you know, that the messengers will lose their work. All sorts of parts of the legal field are being taken up by artificial intelligence. What's your take on that?
Well, to be very honest with you, it had to happen at some point, with or without COVID. Every field in the world has been developing and being overtaken by technology in such a magnificent way, you know. And at some point, we had to be affected. I think the legal field has always established itself as a very traditional field, and that has been disrupted, you know. So I think we are at a point of revolution, and for young practitioners like myself, I think we've sort of at all points always anticipated that at some point we will be overtaken by you know, technology.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's South Africa is not the only affected country. At some point, you look at Canada, they have a very beautiful legal system that side, and the USA, wherein before, way before COVID-19 came in, they could already file the documents at court while they're sitting in their office through what, you know, they would call case lines and other methods and platforms on which one can use for technology. You could, in essence, serve your opponent with documents through your phone without a need for you to go to their office. You know, this was coming, and unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, COVID-19 pandemic assisted for this revolution to hit South Africa hard. So personally, I think it's a good thing. We are still faced with challenges in the legal field in terms of how we adjust to the entire thing. Because, you know, as you would imagine, you have a judge who's 68 years old, and suddenly the judge has to read documents which are filed online. And to maneuver around that is not as easy as for me as a young person it would be. So unfortunately, we still have those challenges, but I think it's a good thing to a great extent for the legal fraternity. It's just that we need to work around the nitty-gritties, and also the practitioners still need to get used the new method of doing things.
That's true. I think perhaps South African jurists have taken too much pride in being traditional, because you know, you have matters in the not even far away, Namibia, Mauritius, which for years have been able to file and run their papers or their whole case electronically, you know, and only the appearances are done in person. And we're too far behind as South Africans. So perhaps this was a jolt that we needed.
Yes, perhaps it was, because I think, although it's a good thing, and I would, for any intents and purposes, advocate for the technology and the advancement of, you know, our pleadings through, you know, technological platforms, I think there are also, you know, disadvantages of it. Part of it is there are certain matters which you can't necessarily hear through virtual proceedings, especially like we spoke about family law earlier. You sometimes it helps for the judge who's sitting and presiding over a matter to see the litigants, to feel their pain, to understand that these children are too young, not just by age, but when you look at them, they do need to be taken care of. You know, some of these things can only occur by physical presence and a feel of the physical energy.
Wow, I feel like you're hard-hitting from the get-go, you know, talking about technology and how it's important, and I feel, and talking about transformation in some ways already, judges being old and not, you know, acquainted with technology like a young person should be. So you've really hit the ground running. Let's talk then about your observation of the legal field. What does transformation look like to you? And do you think in South Africa, do you see it happening? And include what you've also, you know, elaborated on about the technology that is affecting the legal field across the world as well.
So transformation, I think for me, as a young black person in a field that has a history of being reserved for a particular group and a particular few is a very sensitive issue. And what I will basically, or rather my perspective of transformation in the legal field is informed by my own personal experiences and perhaps by those who may be young and who may be black, because there are true realities of what we face. And unfortunately, in the legal fraternity, transformation has been a very slow project. It is a trajectory which everybody is speaking about, but so few are doing something about it, you know. So your question is whether or not I see it as happening. Firstly, I think, Vincent, we need to look into what are the real problems, the cut-through problems that black practitioners are going through, that Indian practitioners are going through, whether or not the white practitioners, our counterparts, are in the same level with us insofar as the practice is concerned. Mm-hmm. Are there still certain systematic things which perhaps are in, you know, to a great extent, and maybe just maybe by, you know, how do I put this, but maybe just
perception?
Just subconsciously, yes. That the system ignores certain things and practices which are disadvantageous to certain or a certain group of people. Yes, the truth is, we still go through a lot because just by a mere perception, one would think that, and I'm speaking about my own personal experiences, one would think that when you get to court, we still get faced with the perception that because you look young and you are black, perhaps you don't know what you're doing, you know? And it's a reality. Two, you find that sometimes there's an overriding perception that white practitioners are better, and it's a reality. Sometimes even amongst our own colleagues, you know? And these are the kind of things which we are faced with, and it's very difficult to fight something that is systematically entrenched. Because where do you start, you know? It also goes with the judges that we have which are sitting at our courts, and I'm not casting aspersions, but if you have someone who was a judge during apartheid and continues to be a judge to date, and you are a young black person in court facing an opponent who's old and white, there already sometimes gets to be this systematic perception, not necessarily personal, but just systematic, that you may perhaps not be knowing what you're doing. And sometimes the tone gets so undermining in court when one tries to advance the point of argument on behalf of a litigant. And you feel these things. We see these things. Sometimes they don't happen to us. They happen to our fellow colleagues. And unfortunately, the legal profession is still at that point, and unfortunately, nothing much is being done to address these inadequacies, you know. And I think this is what some of us see, this is what some of us talk about through the corridors of court, but not necessarily in public, you know. But it's a reality, this is what's happening. So, to answer you, I think transformation is a trajectory which is only ideal. But insofar as what we are doing collectively to enhance transformation in the profession, to try and achieve the goals and purpose of the Legal Practice Act and the constitution of the country, well, not so much has been done.
You really do make a very profound and passionate argument. If you are joining us right now, it has just gone 19:33, so it's almost 7:25 on a Tuesday evening. You're listening to Law Focus on Vow FM with Tepo Mohapi and Millicent Ndiweni. Remember, you can get in contact with us. Even if you're outside Gauteng, we are available on live streaming. You just have to go to vowfm.co.za. Otherwise, you can just tune in to 99.8, and you can also get in touch with us Twitter at Vow FM using the hashtag Law Focus, or Facebook Vow FM. And you can also dial us up 011 717 9881. If you would like to engage in this conversation, perhaps you have a burning comment that you want to add to the issues that we are raising. You've heard Nkopane, and he's raising really profound issues very openly. So perhaps you want to share or tweet your thoughts on that. You are definitely welcome to do so on these different platforms. Nkopane, what are some, I mean, share with us a bit more. You know, your arguments are really compelling. Growing up, what are some of your experiences and your upbringing that shaped your values and you even wanting to choose law as a career, considering that it's such a difficult space to be in?
Well, I think for me, so I grew up in a village in the Free State, at a place called Twakwa in the east of Free State. And there was little or no hope growing up. So I always struggled to answer the question as to where did you draw your inspiration? You know, I think from within, I've always admired my father, whom I think I looked up to, and I think that most of the community looked up to, because my father at that time, when I was still young, was a public figure in a small community. And he was revered, you know, for his brains. And I always wonder, why do people think he's smart? You know, because when you stay with someone, you see all sides, you know, the dumb side and the beautiful side. But I always wonder, why do people think this man is smart, you know? And I think I drew much inspiration from him. And as to how did I end up with a goal to want to be a lawyer, it's quite a difficult one to say, because I don't have any reference as a young boy growing up of a lawyer. I the only time or the only closest thing that I could associate with a lawyer was what I saw on TV, which would be, you know, in soapies and series. And that's when I drew my inspiration to say, well, perhaps even I can actually be in the legal fraternity and, you know, practice as a lawyer. But that's insofar as it goes. So what kept me going, I think, would have been that at grade 6 already, I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. And that's what I stuck with. I will never forget a moment in primary school when we were asked as to what do we want to do when we grow up. And that is when it really hit me hard, because I had to sit down and say, I am decisive. I'm going to be a lawyer. And that was what I was going with. But I don't know exactly. I can't pinpoint exactly as to what would have inspired that.
Okay.
Well, now that you're in the legal profession, what do you wish you knew before you arrived?
So many things. But I think one would be, law is not, it's not about wearing fancy suits, sitting in a fancy office, and drinking coffee. That's not even a part of, you know, the 90% of what you will be faced with daily. I wish I had known that, because some of these things, when you see them on TV, are quite appealing. And all of us want to look like that. We somehow want to be, you know, Harvey Specters of the day and stuff like that. But that's nonsensical. All of that is not what you will face in office. I wish I knew that what law or practicing law, especially litigation, entails is simply a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of hard preparation, some disappointments. I think when you are in court and you are convinced with your case, and you so passionately convinced because you believe in justice, and the presiding officer finds against you, it's quite disappointing. It had, you know, I wish I knew that all of these experiences are what culminate into what then becomes a legal profession and what makes you a legal practitioner.
It's, I mean, it's complex. It's got, it's a roller coaster there of emotions and because you can be sure. Yeah, I mean, I killed this case, and then shame, the judgment comes down, and yeah, no, you have to look up to see the curb, you know. It's tough.
Certainly, it has. I must just say, Tepo, it has, especially when, like I said, I do most of family matters, so those are quite emotional matters.
Yeah.
And you'd argue your socks out, and your client will cry while you argue, only for a judge to find different. And also remember that the fact that the judge finds against you does not mean that you're wrong. It simply means that she doesn't understand or agree with you, and sometimes it's because of backgrounds. You know, backgrounds informs perspectives, and judges who sit there are human, and they have to interpret this complicated thing called law, and it's a matter of argument and convincing each other. And sometimes the fact that you failed to convince a judge does not necessarily mean you are wrong. It just means they see it differently.
That's true. That's true. And it's never personal. It never well, for the attorney, I mean, for the client, it's personal. But for the attorney, it's never personal. Now, I'm partial to Justice Albie Sachs of the Concord, formerly, I think, of the Concord. I'm also partial to Justice Rao Linga, currently in Pretoria. And I also am a great admirer of Mpofu and Ngukai Thobi. And I think at the moment, those are the four people that I could say I look up to and kind of think, you know, when I get a bit down, when I get tired or whatever, I look at
them
and let me carry on. Is there anybody like that for you?
Sure. Look, you see, you mentioned former Justice Albie Sachs.
Yes.
What a brilliant brain. You know, I've had a one-on-one with Justice Albie. Mm. I've read his book. I've read some of his judgments, and he's such a pure man. And I think if you know him personally, you see him in all his writings. You see his heart in his judgments.
Mm.
And I think for me, that's the kind of jurist I picture myself to be. You know, he's about justice more than anything. He's about fairness. And we are not always right on what we consider to be fair and what we consider to be just.
Mm.
But as long as it has that pure human touch, that feel that says the law was meant to transform the people, to put people on an equal footing and for fairness and justice, then I think for me, if you have that philosophy towards your practice and how you approach your practice, then you're good. And that's what I see myself to be. So I would like in Albie Sachs to be one of those people whom I think I get inspired by in terms of the kind of jurist I am certainly working towards being, you know. And I think also it would be Justice Albie Sachs, and also I think insofar as the practitioners which are currently, you know, in practice, I would more or less liken myself to Advocate Maleka SC. You know, I think he's such a well thought man. You know, I think how he just, you know, argues his cases and how he stands by his arguments is just inspiring for me. I think it's brilliant.
And it's very, very delicate task of being firm and still maintaining respect for the forum. That it's a very difficult thing to do, especially when you don't agree with the forum, you know, with the, and I think they're very good at doing that, being firm but really not throwing the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. I admire you for that.
Yes.
These must be really difficult principles to learn. Can you imagine being in an argument with someone and you still try not to be impartial and rude? And like, it must be really tough. And like, Nkopane, you're so young. I don't know how you do it. You know, it goes back to what you were saying earlier on, that when you're very young, people assume that you can't, you don't know what you're talking about. You can't manage. And, listen, big ups to you. And honestly, I think this is an inspiration. It's just going to almost 8:15 right now. If you are joining us on VAWFM 88.1, that is our frequency. And before we continue, let's just take a break and give you a breather. We'll be back in a moment.
Listening to Law Focus? Connect with VAWFM 88.1 on Twitter and Facebook. Be your own lawyer.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Law Focus, as you just heard, with Tepo Mohapi and Millicent Ndiweni on VAWFM 88.1. Remember, you are able to contact us if you would like to on 011-717-9881. Alternatively, you can, tweet us at Twitter using the hashtag Law Focus at VAWFM using the hashtag Law Focus. That is our Twitter platform. Or on Facebook, we are VAWFM, and we are available on live streaming as well, vawfm.co.za. We are basically in a conversation with Nkopani Mukwena. He is a young legal practitioner. If you've listened, his insight is really incredible. We're having a really amazing conversation here. So just listen to get inspiration for yourself. Nkopani, welcome back. Let's continue with some of your critical thinking here. I'm sure you've spoken about COVID earlier on, and it has not been kind to many people. And graduates are one of those who often struggle to get placed, for training when they're looking for articles or pupillage. It's not easy. You graduated in 2016, but someone can still, after graduating in that year, be waiting 6 years to be able to get something. How do you encourage them right now in the crisis that we are in?
Yes, I think that's a very good question, Millicent, because the reality of the matter is most young people are unemployed, whether in the legal fraternity or outside. The economy is so bad that firms are not hiring. It has gotten worse because of COVID-19, as you correctly held, and it's quite a quagmire. It's a mess in the sense that many young people are not getting anywhere. So in encouraging them, I think I would just use a bit of an unorthodox thought. When you come from a university in South Africa, where we are not taught to, or we are not taught and prepared to be independent, we are often, if not always, prepared to be legal practitioners in law school. And no one will ever teach you that it's a business. At the end of the day, what you have to do is bring fees into the firm. Do your work well and bring fees into the firm. So there's a business part of it. And I think this is what I want to say to people who are perhaps unemployed and have LLB degrees, that everyone who's practicing law has an exact same asset as you. All you have to do is believe in yourself. Think beyond a job. Think beyond obtaining some assistance from someone. Think a bit independently. You don't need to have a lot of, limitless resources. Think beyond that. Start questioning yourself. Look into yourself and see what abilities you have, what potential you hold. And just remember always, the difference between you and a director of a law firm is simply that they are a director and you are not. But otherwise, there's nothing that makes you that distinguishes the two of you. You both hold the same asset, same knowledge, same skill set, and you can do what he's doing. And sometimes you can do it even better. You just have to push yourself. And the entire mentality, and this goes beyond the legal fraternity itself, the entire mentality of looking for jobs and all of that is something that we really have to look into, and we can't even want to blame the education system. If it's like that in university, it's fine, but what are we doing about that? Because at the end of the day, we hold an obligation to empower ourselves. So we need to start thinking differently. And it only takes one moment of you deciding to start. So just start. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say to anyone who's out there, anyone who's looking for employment for 4 years and is not getting there. Yeah. Just start.
Ngopana, let me chime in there a little bit, because I really want to amplify what you're saying. You might be sitting there with an LLB and say, but I can't get articles. And I got my LLB in 2019, so I can't be an advocate without having to go through the long process of becoming a newly long process. But every day in South Africa, we have protest marches. We have people who don't have access to education, all sorts of things like that. And those people can't access attorneys. Now, of course, you can't, if you're not admitted as an attorney or advocate, take the matter to court. But really, your skills as a lawyer, not necessarily as an attorney, just as a lawyer with an LLB, you can be of so much assistance to the citizens or the residents of those particular area, your particular area. So you can organize, explain that, hang on, actually you've got the right to X, Y, and Z. Can we club together as a group and collect 100 rand each or 50 rand each and go and consult on this matter, or go and take something? You know, there's a gap for you if you have an LLB. I think that's my two cents anyway.
That's a good one.
Exactly. Tepo, look, you don't need to be an attorney, neither do you need to be an advocate to appear at CCMA. If you empower yourself with labor law, with your LLB degree, you can consult, and you can do much. And that's just an example. I mean, there are various things one can do with an LLB degree. So I think that you capture quite correctly what I am saying.
Okay, resilience is everything. And you know, before you opened Mokoena Nkopani Incorporated, you share how you worked in forensic investigation, as well as your favorites being corporate and commercial litigation. Opening a law firm, tell us quickly about that. How challenging or easy is it financially, in terms of support? What are the important, if someone is listening right now and they've got this idea and they want to go it by themselves and they are ready to do that, what are the things that they should look out for?
Well, I think for me, Merson, the greatest challenge of it all is the business part of it, because we are taught to do law. We are taught to solve complex legal problems. When we do our articles, that's what we are taught. But nobody teaches you that at the end of the day, you must deal. Nobody teaches you that at the end of the day, you must run a business, manage employees, ensure that at the end of the month, you have the salaries of the employees that you can pay, you know, and you must collect. This is a business. The marketing must be on point. Stuff like that, you know. So this you learn on the go and can be quite tricky. And for me personally, it has been quite a challenge. But especially when it comes to, you know, staff management and you know, getting people to do things in the manner that you want to do things, because you then step into this and suddenly you are a leader of so many people who are different, and you need to understand all these characters and how they can effectively work towards the better of the entire firm. So for me, that's been the real challenge. Insofar as getting work, it has not necessarily been much of a challenge. As Tepo said earlier, there is a gap for any person with an LLB in the market. There is a gap, whether it's in labor law, whether it's in divorces, whether it's in commercial, whether it's in civil. It's just there. You just need to find your niche, and once you get that, hit on it and hammer hard, you know. So that's not been a problem. But I think for me, the biggest challenge is the business part of it, because you learn on the go. So how do you overcome that? I think you keep yourself with as much knowledge as possible. It doesn't have to be through school. You can self-educate, read relevant books, look into how other people have done it. I've done my own study in terms of the kind of firm I want to build. And I look into the firms which are where I want to be. And I read a lot about people who are in the firm, people who started that firm, look into what they have had to go through. How did they get where they are? What can you take from their story and add into yours, which would aid your standing and your path where you want to go, you know? So I think equip yourself with as much relevant knowledge as possible, and discipline and focus are key components of building any successful consortium.
Okay, good one. Final question. We all look at society and there are things that might be good, but there's a lot of things that we see that might not be good. When you observe what happens around you and those things that are close to your heart, how do you feel that the law can play a part in shaping and addressing those issues? Do you see a place for the law to be able to do that, considering that it sometimes comes across as very rigid?
Yeah, so you do come across those situations where you feel like you've reached a cul-de-sac insofar as getting aid from the law. When you look into it quite closely, you say, but this person deserves this. And I'll make an example. For example, if someone was occupying, say, a house, and did not know that for them to own the house, they have to transfer ownership from the previous owner into their own name, and we find the previous owner has passed away. This person stays with about four people or four children or five children in that house. This person is probably unemployed or has makes little each month, so they are in essence struggling, and they come to court, but they only come to court 4 years later because somehow someone is claiming the house or whatever the case may be. But when they come to court 4 years later, the court says, but why did you not lodge a claim within 3 years of this arising? And they say, I didn't know that I should, because I'm not affiliated or abreast with the law, And the court says, but there's a prescription rule that says you must lodge a claim within 3 years from the date of the cause of action arising. But how could this person have possibly known, Eventually, the court rules that you can't lodge a claim, you can't have a case, the court can't assist you. Then eventually you end up being evicted, and you are evicted with kids. And these are some of the touching issues that you see, and that you can't possibly do anything about that. But it will hit you hard as a practitioner who has a heart for the people and who wants to assist, especially if it's those you may know personally or those who are close to you, So for me, you do come across this, but at the end of the day, your hands become tied because there's not much you can do.
Mm. Wow, thank you so much, Nkopani. We appreciate having you on VAW FM Law Focus tonight and you sharing your journey with us and inspiring many other people who are listening, other young people who are graduates and still unemployed, wanting to get into the legal field. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nkopani, for taking your evening to come and speak to us. It's been very informative and we really enjoyed speaking to you. I could almost overlook your buccaneer tendencies after this interview, but I can't. But almost. But thank you for coming through.
Okay, yeah, profile interviews are interesting, aren't they? Learning from other people's experiences, drawing strength from their stories and how they overcame their struggles. Most of our characters are built from these challenges that we go through that are difficult. Continue to pursue your dreams, your passions, irrespective of the obstacles that you encounter along the way. It's very important. And that was Nkopani Mokoena's journey. It can be just as encouraging as yours. Yours can be just as encouraging as his, rather. We thank him for sharing his encounter with us tonight. And with that said, this is all that we have time for this evening. Law Focus will be back next week, Tuesday. Stay tuned. We have really fascinating topics coming up throughout this month and for the rest of the year. You don't want to miss it. Rather not miss it, I suggest. From our team, our producer, Rifilwe Mekwa, our technical producer, Kutlwano Sirame, as well as our presenters, Tepo Mohapi, and myself, Millicent Ndiweni. Thank you so much for tuning into Law Focus tonight. Till next time, good night.
Good night.
Law Focus Podcast.